let's kick off. So, Trevor Benjamin, front and center, if you'd be so kind.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, you have to do it.
Okay. Yes, I've slightly revised my title. Not that you care. Okay, so good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. My second time here at CA Day. Fantastic opportunity. Look forward to it. So I'm going to be talking to you today about one of the most common basic types of interactional sequences there are. You say something, I have some trouble with it, I let you know and ask you to fix it. Okay, so that's the type of sequence I'm looking at. And I'm going to be looking specifically at the way that people signal this trouble, or the way that they initiate repair. And I'm going to be focusing on the way that the prosodic design, in particular the pitch of these actions, can change the nature of that action. Okay, so, of course, studying other initiations of repair, as they're called, or OIs, has a long, venerable history. So here's a quote from a recent paper by Robinson and Cabot-Feldman. A major strand of conversation analytic research has dedicated itself to discovering practices of other initiation of pair, or OIs, and describing how they variously accomplish the location and delimitation of the trouble source and trouble type respectively. So in short, looking at the ways that these actions sort of diagnose the trouble. They tell the prior speaker what's causing the trouble, so if it's a word or the utterance as a whole, and then what type of trouble it is. I didn't hear it, I don't understand it, etc. Now, of course, going all the way back to the classic SJS paper from 1977, they laid out this classic taxonomy of OI types. So you have huhs and whats all the way down to understanding checks, where all I need is a confirmation of whether this is what you meant. Okay? And today I'm going to be looking at question words used on their own. So who's, where's, when's. So that's going to be my focus today. And again, I'm going to be looking at the way that the prosodic design of these actions shapes the way that thing is understood. Okay? So specifically, I'm going to be talking about two types of who's, and as far as I can tell, these are really the only two types there. So just listen, and hopefully we'll hear this.
Who?
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 Okay, now compare those with
who?
Who? Who?
Who? All right, so basically what we're talking about here is these are two different things, okay? Participants treat them in different ways. They're two distinct types of other initiations for repair, and they address distinct types of trouble. Okay, so that's what I'm gonna be arguing today. So my data is taken from big old corpus of sort of everyday phone conversations mostly, okay? Mostly American data, but it seems to work the same here in the UK. So I have 26 cases of the who with rising pitch and 36 cases of the who with falling pitch. And I've done auditory and an acoustic analysis. Don't worry about the numbers. Okay, so an initial comparison of two examples. So these are numbers 1 and 2 on your handout. So in extract 1, A and B are cousins, and they've been, A has been updating B about some of their mutual, their other cousins, okay?
Too bad.
Okay, can you, everyone hear that in the back?
A little quiet.
A little quiet?
Is it possible to,
yeah, let's turn it up.
Yep.
That's too bad. Mm-hmm. That's too bad. Mm-hmm. And, she's doing okay. Who? Father. She's doing okay. How about William?
Okay, so I'm just gonna quickly play the first two, then I'll talk about them in a second. So so that was a who with rising pitch. Who? Now compare that to this one.
Who?
Right, but he's the work of Chuck in Washington, right?
Hmm.
David.
And then, a disconfirmation. Okay, so if we compare these two, and just looking the most sort of basic features of these. So let's first look at the types, the trouble source. So what is causing the trouble? In the first case, we see that it's a name. All right, that's what's causing the trouble, this reference to Fonda. In the second case, it's a pronoun, the reference form he. So that's one difference we see between these two things. Now, here, speaker A repeats their prior utterance, the prior reference, Fonda, Fonda. In the second case, they sort of spell out who the pronoun is. They specify he, David. Okay, so what I'm going to argue is with a few modifications, this is a pretty systematic thing, all right? So first I'm going to look at this trouble source. What types of references do these things locate as the source of trouble? Okay, so here we have the who's, and here we have the who's. So the first thing to notice is that in 73% of the time, most of the time, three-quarters of the time, the who's do, in fact, target a name. And in about 86% of the time, the who's target a pronoun. So that's nice. Now, what about the rest? So, okay, if we can look at descriptions, sort of these other types of things. On the one hand, with the who's, we have things like Sibby's sister, my parents, Harry and Tabitha. And then who, we have things like the three of us, or that girl, okay? And these are, of course, slightly different from these in that they index a greater degree. They make a stronger claim that you know who this person is, okay? And then, finally, what we could call a sort of implicit reference. So I have an example where the trouble source term is, I called, by the way. So the person who's being called is the source of trouble, but it's sort of left out. So it's I called him, I called them, I called her, but it's not actually specified. So it's sort of an implicit reference. And you only ever get those with the who's, not the who's. Okay, so what all of these share, pronouns, these implicit references, and things like that girl, this guy, they all make a strong claim that you know who, not only do you know who this is, but this person is sort of available in this context, or accessible in this context. So yeah, I mean, in the literature, they're often, these types of things are often called indexicals. And on the other hand, who's locate as trouble sources things which aren't indexicals. So most of them are names, so they're still saying, you know who this person is, and you can use this name to locate them, but they don't make that extra claim that this person is sort of accessible in this context. Okay, so that's one difference. And this is interesting, because what this allows is it allows repairing speakers to sort of to rule out possible candidate, other possible reference in the trouble source. So here we have in the second extract, but he used to work with Bill in Washington, right? So we have two person references, he and Bill, to different people. Who has to target he? Because Bill is one of these non-indexicals. I mean, intuitively we know this is right, right? So and across my collection, it always works. So it has to be the heat. And on the other hand, so we'll see this extract later, they said that Phillips got a knee-walking drunk at the reception. Yeah. So here we have two references. This is an indexical, they, and this is a non-indexical. And it has to target Phillips, and it does, systematically. Okay, so that's kind of neat. You can sort of look at these two practices split up these references into indexicals and non-indexicals. And in some ways, it's similar to the way the system of question words, who, where, when, split up things into categories like person reference, place reference, time reference. But I mean, it's a different, obviously, here it's some sort of semantic category or whatever, whereas here it's a sort of a contextual feature. But it's still, it's doing this classifying work. Here it's done through sort of a grammatical paradigm, and here it's being done through, you know, through this prosodic distinction. Okay, so that's the first thing. We have non-indexicals versus indexicals. Next thing, they address different types of trouble. Okay, hearing, understanding, blah, blah, blah. So first I'm gonna jump over and look at these who's. And I'm gonna sort of zoom in what I mean by here by understanding trouble. Okay, so we saw this one before. You get he, and then you get a this pronoun gets spelled out. So by he, I mean David, that sort of thing. Now here, this is not in your handout. I ran out of space. I wanted to fit it onto a nice double. So, but you can just listen. So A and B, They're arguing about childcare, for those of you who were here a few weeks ago, I presented this data, but so they're arguing about who's gonna look after their child, their separated couple. And here at this line, Speaker A comes in with a sort of topically disjoint move away from that nasty sequence.
Just trust people in the church, don't trust everybody in the church.
That girl reminds me of Anna so much.
Who?
That girl in CLC.
Okay, now CLC is the name of a church that they go to, okay? So here, the trouble source reference is that girl. Again, it's an indexical. The that is saying, you know who this is, right? We get a who, and then Speaker A expands on that, spells it out a bit. So it's the same type of repair in the sense that I'm adding more information to help you pick out who this person is. Okay, so if you look at across the collection, when you get a repair, like 90% of the time, you get a specification. So that's nice. There's a couple other repairs, which I'm not gonna talk about now, but I am gonna quickly show you an example. Sometimes, of course, like any other action, you don't always get the projected next thing. So you don't always get the repair. Sometimes something else happens. So let's just look at one. So let's just look at these. I'll give you an example. And what's nice is, you know, one of the great hallmarks of CA, if you look at the weird cases, they typically give you nice evidence, even stronger evidence of what you're arguing, if your analysis is correct. So here we have A and B are talking about I think they're sisters, and one of their children is having a bit of trouble at school, and that's the hymn that we're gonna see here. Okay, so here in a slightly strange positioned, I guess in theory you could possibly be complete here, but anyway, and this is produced terminal overlap with the trouble source term. Okay, so Speaker A doesn't stop and immediately produce the repair, they continue their TCU. I mean, that's relatively normal. Now, what we're going to see. And Speaker B is gonna immediately, post at the possible commission here, offer their own guess at who the person is. Okay, so they're gonna say, Greg? Okay, so what's nice about these is we see from Speaker B that a specification of an indexical reference is exactly the sort of thing they were looking for with their trouble source, with their who. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, most people are nodding. I'll go with that. Okay, now what's interesting, this happens relatively frequently in my data. So these are nice examples. So basically, the person initiates repair, they don't get an immediate response for whatever reason, and then they initiate repair a second time, and the second repair initiation is always a guess, okay? And what's cool about this case is, as we'll see, in overlap with this guess, Speaker A offers a repair to the who, a response to the who, which is exactly the same. So listen.
Tested for remedial class.
Great. Right. Yeah.
Okay, very nice. So basically, whos say that an indexical reference in your prior TCU is underspecified or vague, spell it out for me, okay? Now, the whos with the rising pitch contour are slightly different, okay? So here we saw a repetition. If you repeat something, you're saying, this reference form is good enough, you know, you can work it out on the basis of this. You know Fonda, and you know Fonda as Fonda, right? So it's all it is addressing is a possible hearing trouble. But, okay, so this was the example we saw. But then occasionally, you get cases like this. So this is sort of the beginning, like, so there's been a lapse in the conversation, and you get this. So it's...
You heard from that, man?
Huh? Damn, I love them. Yeah. I called them, baby. Eugene, they might come up last night.
Now, Eugene is Deb's husband. So, it's clear here that they both know Deb. It's a mutual friend. But, A refers to her as Dabu, using, as we see, some little cutesy personal diminutive nickname. So the problem here isn't I didn't hear you, it's given the reference form that you gave me, I can't pick out who this is. So the problem is it's a recognition failure or unfamiliarity with the reference form used, okay? Now, if you look across the collection, most of the time, again, when you get repairs, 82% of the time, you get a repetition. The type of thing that we saw before, which is sort of they give an alternative form, which says an alternative name or an alternative recognitional. Sometimes it's like, I was talking to Sarah last night. Who? My cousin, or sorry, Jim's cousin, or whatever, right? That only happens 1 in 10 times. So, I mean, they still happen, so they still provide some evidence of basically what I'm arguing is there's an ambiguity here with who's. The who's can be a hearing problem or it can be a recognition failure. And so these cases give some evidence of that already. But if you look at the repetition cases, what you see very frequently, as I'll show you in the next track, is that the repetition on its own isn't enough, or it's treated as not being enough. All right, so the sequence essentially gets expanded. People do a bit of extra repair work, okay? So you can see both those in extract 8. Okay, so this is, A is telling B about, so she's telling her about, well, anyway, you will see.
I heard today from Pennsylvania Philip for the first national. I went down to Maine and Camden, they were telling me about weddings. They said that Philip got knee-walking drunk at the reception.
Who?
Philip Camden's husband. He got knee-walking drunk at the
wedding.
I mean, at the wedding reception.
Okay, so, The TCU prior to the who, so like as I mentioned, it has two reference forms, and the fact that it's a who and not a who means that it has to be targeting Phillips. Now, what speaker A does initially is just repeats Phillips, okay? But what we see in lines 11 and 12, so let's look at them. So let's just look at line 11 first. So speaker B initiates repair, gets a repetition, and then speaker B initiates repair a second time, giving an explicit repair initiator, which something saying who's Phillips explicitly says, I'm not familiar with this person, right? So this provides sort of after the fact evidence that at this point, speaker B's trouble may have been, I'm unfamiliar with this person. Okay, now, in overlap with this, and so likely uninformed by this repair initiator, speaker A offers a second repair. So first she offers a repetition, and then she goes on to give a more an alternative recognitional form. So Pam Benson's husband. You may not know this person's Phillips, but you will know them if you sort of triangulate them through Pam Benson. Okay, so you see this sort of thing. Typically you don't see them happening together, but I just packed two nice bits into one example. You see this sort of thing happening in about half the cases that you have repetition. So it happens a lot. And you can ask me about this in the question period because I don't have time to go into it. What's interesting is sometimes speaker A anticipates in their repetition that it might not be sufficient. So
Phillips.
So if you're familiar with the idea of trimarking, you sometimes get repeats which are trimarked and sometimes you don't. And yeah, anyway, I'll leave that for the discussion period. So, you see it in the way the sequences are expanded, but you can also get some orientation to it in the repair itself. Okay, now, here's the take-home message. You have non-indexicals, hearing and recognition, indexicals, and underspecification. So that's, you see a split. Oh, there it is, prettier. Okay, now, just quickly gonna run through, it turns out that this thing extends not only to who and who, but it also extends to sort of these framed repetitions.
Who does?
About who?
What from him?
Versus?
Who
could? I'm not going to show you examples, but it works. And it also works for other question words. It's not something specific to person reference. It works for?
Where?
Not working where?
Which one?
At what?
About the
where?
Versus?
Before.
Okay. Okay. And I just want to quickly play around with this idea of indexicals and extend it a tiny bit. Okay, so what I've shown you, I'm going to show here are two of these framed who's. Okay, now I'm just going to play this little bit here.
Seeing like I was performing to that, like I was trying to understand, like.
Okay, so it's hard to hear, but this to who is, so it's repeating the to, and then the who is sort of standing in for the them. Okay, and that's an indexical reference form them. And I didn't show the repair, but she spells it out. Now, compare that to this.
Yeah, but what's it from?
Did he make it sound like he's going to come?
To who?
Me.
Now, here, to who isn't sort of substituting something in the prior TCU. It's asking for this person to spell out something which was missing or implicit. So in this case, sort of who the person is that's coming. Okay? So do you see that? So it's not, it's like these implicit cases I mentioned before. So it, I mean, you know, if you're familiar with the idea of an appender question, it's that type of thing. So you've assumed some elements, something associated with your prior TCU is available to you as well. And what's nice is that these cases are always produced with following pitch, which is consistent with this idea that they are requesting specification. You've left something out vague or underspecified. I need that in order to interpret your prior TCU or action. Okay. Yeah, so I just made that connection. There's these implicit reference cases like, I called, by the way. So here, the person who's being called is left implicit. Okay, so you can say that it's an indexical form like a pronoun or diet or, you know, this girl, that girl, whatever, or missing information. Okay, here's the final summary. I'm not the first person, of course, to make a connection, but to notice that there's something going on with pitch in across these types of repair requests. The most substantial work is in German by Margaret Selting ages ago. But what's interesting is that, like, in a lot of the repair literature since, it just hasn't recognized this. And what's also interesting is I discovered this far, far too late, but quirk et al, if there are any linguists in the room, they'll certainly, like, this is like sort of a comprehensive grammar of English written in the 80s, and they made just totally into, like, no data support. They just said, when produced with rising intonation, echo questions, so these types of things, request repetition, and these are called recapitulatory echoes, and when they're produced with falling intonation, they request clarification, explicatory echoes. And it's not totally right, because like I said, there's this ambiguity with the rising cases, but I don't know, their intuitions were pretty good. Shegloff similarly noticed that there's a difference, he didn't really spell out exactly what it was. Most interesting is only a few years ago, Maria Egbert et al. Looked at what? In English and the equivalent in German, and said that this always says some sort of object-y reference in your prior TCU, I need you to spell it out for me. So that fits very much with this idea of requesting a specification of an indexical reference. I've advanced this in certain ways. So first I've shown that the pitch delimits the trouble source, not just the type, this idea of indexical versus non-indexicals. The rising in tone ones, who, are ambiguous between hearing and sort of recognition-y problems. And then these missing info cases where it's like something's left out or missing, that's totally productive. If you can leave something out of your prior term, of your talk, I can ask you to spell that out if I build repair requests in the right way, by sort of expanding the grammar of your TCU. And then also that this split holds systematically across question words and across both the bare and frame cases. Okay, so yeah, these two things. Now, I know I'm over, yeah. Last, final things. So this, what I think this type of research is important is showing that there's difference between, sort of, like if you look at Shegloff, like this taxonomy, it lays out sort of general methods of repair initiation. But if you dig into these, you see that there's actually sort of linguistically and diagnostically distinct practices within that. So that's one thing. And some of these practices offer very specific diagnoses, these who ones, say, spell out an indexical reference. And the nice thing, of course, is that prosody allows a very minimal form like who to deliver quite a big diagnostic punch. And of course, this shows more generally that prosody can play an important role in shaping what a Turnitalk is doing. And my last point, the importance of the unsexy. I'm looking at telephone calls, English, and repair. Could you possibly get anything less sexy than that? I mean, honestly, like, didn't we figure all this crap out years ago? But the fact is that there's just so much we don't know about how, you know, social interaction is organized. And just go back, revisit the old topics, look at it with a new, fresh light, you know, apply, look at phonetics, look at bot, just there's so much left to do. And so, yeah, the unsexy can be important. Right. There
Thank
we go.
You very much.
Well, Trevor's already given you a hint of what kind of question he wants, but you can ignore that and ask any questions you like. We have about 5 minutes, so time for a couple of questions or observations or comments at least.
There are phoneticians out there. No? All right, good. Yes?
Just one quick one. Did you have any examples where one of the speakers used who and then who, or the other way around, so you could show that they really were...
Oh, in a particular, in one...
Within one conversation.
Oh, with, yeah.
So
yeah, I have
a... Specific to the person, the way... I mean, I don't think it is. It's clearly going to be...
Yeah. I do have... Yeah. Well, one example. I'm very lucky. I also have one interaction where the same person uses who, following three times. But no, yeah, I do. I have one phone call where you see one person doing the two. Yeah. Rebecca.
Just one question about extract 8, in particular extract 8. What about the contexts which were also particularly prone to repair?
Yeah.
Just noting that line 4 is reported speech.
Yeah.
It's just like, in my experience that and extract 10 is quasi-reported speech.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I wondered if I'd love to see through looking at those sort of contexts that particularly
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Something like, so there undoubtedly are particular affinities with, it's funny because what I noticed, I haven't focused on this, what I noticed most interestingly are the who cases, the following cases. They very often follow sort of sequential junctures or sort of a resume type action. And it makes sense, because when you sort of go back to pick up some prior thread, you often use a pronoun to say, I'm continuing what we were doing before. But if that sort of, if there's something has intervened, you often get repair type there. And that sort of fits with some things that we know in the literature that these type of sort of resumptive type moves can be problematic. Now, in terms of the reported speech, that's interesting. Nothing jumped out at me in the data, but it's I mean, that's one future avenue is to sort of now, because all I was trying to do is sort of the basic properties of these two practices. Now, when sort of participants draw on them, what types of things leading up to those things, I'm not quite sure, but it's a nice question. Yeah. Sorry.
I wonder if you picked up anything interesting about alignment
Well,
disaligning with.
Yeah. Well.
Did happen more than one or
Yeah. Not systematically. No. I mean, like the falling ones, are sometimes they're produced in like the first example I showed you actually. They're produced in a context where us as analysts looking at it can say it's obvious who this pronoun is referring to. You know, you're being silly. And often what you see then is following those cases, you see a sort of, a non-aligning response, or at least a just preferred response. Like here you get a, and then negative response. And I mean, it's sort of, I know who you're talking about, but it can't be that person because that's wrong or whatever. So there is some sense there in which these things can be used in the service of disaligning actions or, but it's not systematic. Right, so I mean, yeah, that's the best I can say. This.
Okay, we'll have to stop it there. So thank you once again, Trevor. Okay, great. Next up is...